Our sermon text comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're continuing our journey through Mark's Gospel. And today's lesson is from chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." And Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've never actually tried this, but I have it on good authority that the best way to catch a monkey is to find a jar with the neck just large enough for a monkey to extend an extended hand. But first you have to put something enticing in the jar, like a banana or some nuts. And then you have to put the jar someplace where the monkey is likely to find it. And then the monkey will extend its hand, put its hand in the jar, grab all the enticing treats, but the neck is not wide enough for the monkey to remove its fist. It's just big enough for a hand, but not big enough for a fist full of treats. And then while the monkey is obsessing with how to get all the treats out of the jar, you can sneak up behind the monkey and capture it. Again, I haven't tried that, but I've been told that that is reliably a very good way to catch a monkey. And we often think of Lent as a time when we talk about what we might give up. And already you might know where I'm going with a jar illustration. Here we are with our fist caught in the jar. And what is it that we need to let go of, so that we can release our hands and be free? What is in your jar? What do you need help learning how to release? Maybe you're finally at a point where you're ready to admit that you're powerless over an addiction. Or maybe I'm finally at the point where I'm ready to relinquish my need for control. Or am I finally at the point where I'm ready to let go of an ancient resentment? Am I ready to let go of a paralyzing fear? And here's one of the hardest ones. Am I ready to let go of the wealth and status and accomplishments that I have spent years accumulating? That was the question posed to the rich young ruler. And you may have noticed it was here in the Gospel of Mark that he's called rich. In the Gospel of Matthew, he's described as young. And in the Gospel of Luke, he's described as a ruler. So in Christian tradition, he is known as the rich young ruler. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very alike in how they tell the story. In all three gospel versions, the young man comes up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And you know the commandments." And then he says, "Yes, I have kept the commandments from the days of my youth." And then Jesus says, "One thing you lack. Go and sell everything and give the money to the poor." All three gospels tell that part of the story. But there's something unique and beautiful about how Mark tells the story. According to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, looking upon the man, loved him, and then he said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have." That's just beautiful, I think, that Jesus loved him so much and was so sorrowful when he was unable to do the thing that Jesus asked of him. And we ourselves are so apt to say that Jesus is the solution to all our problems. Jesus makes life easier and easier to cope with. But according to this gospel passage, there are times when Jesus complicates things greatly. I mean, here we are. Let's say that we think we have our lives more or less neatly compartmentalized. We have a work and family balance. We have a balance between church activities and our other commitments, other civic organizations. We have a calendar that's pretty evenly spread out among our goals, and we try to get those accomplished. And then Jesus comes and says, no, I must be the priority. You have to give everything to me. And it upsets our systems. It upsets our rhythm. It might even upset our conceptions of who we are. Yes, indeed, Jesus is often the cause of our problems and not always the answer to the ones we want to get rid of. And Jesus makes it hard even for those who are just kind of like overhearing this conversation from a distance. Jesus starts talking about how hard it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. And all of us with our first world problems all of a sudden have our ears wide open and like wondering, okay, what is Jesus going to say next? And Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And some of us may relax just a little bit thinking, well, Jesus must be talking about that famous eye of the needle gate in Jerusalem. That's very narrow and very low. And you have to coax a camel down low to get it through that gate. And of course, you have to take all the burdens off its back first. And you have to coax it through the gate. And so it's very, very, very difficult to get a camel to go through this gate, but not impossible. The only thing is that there is no mention anywhere in ancient literature of an eye of the needle gate before the 8th century, some 700 years after this story was first told. It's very likely that the eye of the needle gate was a story invented by someone who was rich, or who at the very least, someone whom Jesus made nervous. No, Jesus seems to be talking about a sewing needle and getting a camel through the eye of that needle. And of course, we know that we can't take that literally. I don't think any of us are prepared to literally give away all of our possessions and join a monastic order somewhere. More likely than not, that's not the calling that we have. And so if ever there was a scripture that we wanted to take seriously but not literally, this is it. But what does it mean to take it seriously? Many of us who do have privilege and a safe home and haven't gone hungry in a long time, what does it mean for us to take this seriously? The late French sociologist and theologian Jacques Ellul asked this question: how do we overcome the spiritual power of money? And he says, not by accumulating more money, not even by using money for good purposes, not by being just and fair in our dealings. The law of money is the law of accumulation, of buying and selling. That is why the only way to overcome the spiritual power of money is to give it away, thus desacralizing it and freeing ourselves from its control. To give money away is to win a victory over the spiritual power that oppresses us. And here ends the quotation. And please know that these are always examples where preachers have many more fingers pointing back at themselves than they have pointing out. It's a hard question for all of us to answer. But one pastor I admire, retired Presbyterian pastor John Walton, once said that the fundamental question of Christian stewardship is not how much we give of all that we have, but how much we keep and why. So we don't have to literally give it all away, but we might have to let go of whatever is in that jar that we have such a hard, hard time letting go of. And what is that? It might be wealth and status. It might be how others perceive us. It could be all kinds of things. And here near the chancel are three interactive prayer stations. And each one invites you to let go of something that you might have a hard time letting go of. At the first station, it's letting go of others' expectations of us and the significance that we might put on those. In the second table, it's letting go of our own obsessive desire for success as the world defines it or as we ourselves define it, letting go of that. And over here is letting go of stress, and you get to break a craft stick. We can spend about 3 minutes or so now if you would like to visit one of these prayer stations, or you could contemplate these questions where you're seated. You could also visit these prayer stations after worship, and we'll keep them up until it's time for our friends, the Community for Christ Church, to set up for their worship. And so for the next maybe 3 minutes, I invite us to ponder these questions on our own or to come up to one of the prayer stations. And doing so, again, remember that whatever it is that we have such a hard time letting go of, Jesus promises that all things are possible with God. So now I do invite us to the silent reflection, and then I'll announce our hymn.